Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Hello. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing fine. How about you?
Pretty good. Hey, I just heard your opening story, and the way I see it, that's been going on for a while. The only time I've ever tried to go into Canada, we got turned around, and it took about 3 hours, an hour and a half on both sides, getting our car searched, just because they didn't want to let us through. And
we go to Canada every year. Getting into Canada is the easiest thing in the world, because my son always says they'll let anybody in. But coming back is where we get the problem, is the Americans give us more trouble coming back into the country.
We had two oranges packed into the bottom of the car, and I said we had citrus in the car. We had to pull over, unpack the entire car, pull out the two oranges, but that was all. They didn't inspect things minutely, and they just wanted the citrus out of the car.
One thing going in, we've always, and coming back too, we take, because we go in the fall, we may take Christmas presents wrapped, but they've never, on either side, have they ever said, we want you to unwrap those gifts, and, you know, when we're bringing them back, they'll say, what's in them, and we'll say, how do we know they're gifts? Sure. You know, we don't know. And but anyway, so, go ahead.
One of the things I wanted to mention to you, Cynthia, is from the little bit I've listened to your show, it seems like you're all about, you know, the government and following the rules and the laws and everything. But with this that happens at the border, this is what I see all over the place. This is what I see in our local communities. And it's just becoming more and more of a police state. And that is because of a lot of the laws we have and the way they're enforced. And that's why I think it's so important for people to kind of push back against those irrational, stupid laws and not comply with all of them, because it's just going to become more and more of a police state as people comply.
Well, I obey the laws as I know them, and
there's a story.
Don't make trouble.
I read this just last night about how the police in Montreal went on a strike back in, I believe it was October 17th, 1976, I believe it was. They went on strike for one day. And the crime that occurred in that city, in Montreal of all places, over the course of the next 24 hours is appalling. It's a case study. And there's no other system that we know of where you have forceful enforcement of the law. There's no other system that we know of that doesn't degrade into a kind of almost a terrorism in its own right. The system we use in this country and in most civilized, certainly most developed countries, is about the only thing that really seems to work.
I'd like to add to that personal responsibility and community responsibility would go a long way. You know, watching your neighbor's back, and rather than always mean to call on somebody else or the authorities to help out, start standing up for each other.
Well, I agree with that, absolutely. But then philosophically, one has to think that we're always feeling good towards our neighbors. And frankly, we're a species that evolved by making our own niche in the world. And oftentimes, unfortunately, we've made those niches by taking it from others, other human beings, other animals, from Mother Earth. So we don't innately have this beneficial aspect towards our neighbors. So you can't just rely on human nature to keep order, unfortunately. And maybe one day that will happen. But we really work on a set of instincts that were developed when we were gatherers, hunters and gatherers.
Right.
And it really doesn't help when, we're taught to be afraid of our neighbors and taught, we teach our children to, don't talk to anybody. And, we don't encourage our fellow community members to come together. It's just the opposite. We actually educate them to always be aware, always be afraid. And that goes a long ways to depend on the system, too.
Well, I would love to have peace and harmony throughout the world, and we all would love each other, and there'd never be wars. But
That'd be nice.
It would be nice, wouldn't it? But I don't save a lot of money too. But yeah. I don't think that I just don't think it's given the human nature it's ever going to happen.
So. Well, and also we have the media attention to so many things that are overblown, and you lose relative scale over one incident versus another. Far too little time is devoted to the larger picture, and too much time to the. To the more specific disaster or horrible last incident.
Right. Thanks for calling. 357-1290. Good morning, you're on Talkback.
Good morning. How are you all today?
Fine. How are you?
Good. Wonderful. I have to say, I think there's a little bit too much credence being given to what we've been indoctrinated to believe is good, orderly, I don't know, as we all march off to our FEMA camps. You know, When I look at this police state that we are living in, and make no mistake about it, we are not free. This is not the land of the free, home of the brave. This is the land of the enslaved with a federal reserve.
I'm sorry, but you know, you're insulting my country, and it makes me angry.
The USA is regulated, and as do I. You know, at the border, recently there was a gentleman who went across the Canadian border simply to buy a hamburger. And he was arrested. He was taunted by the Border Patrol official. And this is an entire street. I don't remember where it is. I read the article a week or so ago. And he was arrested, interrogated, and 3.5 hours or so out of his day before going to get a hamburger. That's a little bit of brutality. You know, we're regulated. Everything we say, we're regulated. And you know, these people went through this thing. This is Gestapo.
What people went through what thing?
What's that?
You said these people went through this thing. What people went through what thing?
You were talking about who went through the border. They went through. I mean, there's no justification for the junk that the Border Patrol does. It. Have you ever seen checkpointusa.org?
No.
Have you ever, check that website out sometime? Checkpointusa.org. There's a gentleman who I believe is a lawyer, said. He's had it for this, and he's the system for what it is. I mean, those people getting fingerprinted, photographed, and made to forced to sign photographs. And this is, I mean, even local police departments doing this. I know there's a young man who's in jail right now. They consider him a juvenile. He did.
This isn't this going a little off course.
Yeah, this is
in his pocket.
Well. I don't know, but anyway, one of the things that probably along the same lines, we'll get some calls about this, but the Keene Police Department is offering what I think is a really good service right now. Many people go out of town and they leave their kids home alone. They're not adult, but not kids either, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old. And I mean, the fear of probably every parent going is, even though you've told them not to, that you know, a party will develop. Sometimes they invite two friends over, and those friends each invite two friends who invite two friends, and holy moly, you've got the party of the century going there. And you can call the parental house check request form, and the Keene Police Department will come and check your home to make sure that there's no parties going on.
And you know, on the face of it, it sounds like it makes terrific sense.
Right.
It's something I'd ponder a little more before I decided my 17-year-old would be monitored like that, but I probably would do that.
Well, they might not even know he was being monitored. They might just drive by, and if they didn't hear a lot of noise, well, see a lot of lights on, see a lot of kids.
Yeah.
But
yeah, well, as a parent,
a great thing to threaten your kids with.
Well, no, I wouldn't think of it as a threat, but I think as a parent, I would say, look, we're expecting you to act responsibly, and we will be watching.
Right.
And you know, that may sound very scary, but how many kids have gotten, and I know a few myself, have gotten into trouble because they've gotten into these situations of unmonitored underage parties. And
party at Jack's house.
It causes an awful lot of headache. Not so much for the parents as for the kid himself or herself.
Right.
And it's worth a parent's effort to try to avoid that headache for their children. So I think it's probably a really good idea.
I think it is, too. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Good morning. How are you two?
We're fine, thank you.
How are you?
Fine. About those folks in Canada, I think it was kind of unfortunate what happened to them, but what if they were bad guys? And in this day and age, since 9/11, I mean, times have changed. We got people trying to blow up planes and...
Well put.
Right.
I agree with
you.
Well,
I guess that's probably what the Border Patrol was thinking of, and they were just thinking, well, you know, they dropped their son off at school, and they're, you know, middle-aged professionals, and they had no records, and, you know, there was...
One other quick point.
Right.
I saw a news clip last week on Channel 4, and a group of young adults went into these people's houses while the folks were away and vandalized and trashed their house to the tune of $75,000 worth of damage.
They'd have to take my house away to get that much damage.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you. 357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Yes, I'll make this short, because my voice isn't real good. In response to the guy who was complaining about our country, if the old rule is, there's no excuse for ignorance of the law. And if you are in a situation where you're close to a border like that, it's your responsibility to decide whether you're in the right or the wrong.
That's true.
Okay?
That's true.
Exactly. I mean, you don't... They must know in their own mind that if they're not sure, then why do it?
Right. I know the... If I turn left, I'm going to hit the United States eventually, so maybe I won't turn left.
There you go.
But, you know, these borders are all political borders. They're
right.
Man-made. And
right.
It's unfortunate that one day we will see, the humankind will see a point where political borders no longer exist.
Right.
And that's a day that's worth envisioning. And that's maybe making an example of the way you drive about is not the way to go to create this borderless world. But one day it'll happen when we know how to live together.
What we need is... more unity between the countries.
We Absolutely. Do indeed.
Okay.
Amen to that. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye now. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hi. I was just going to contribute something regarding the police watching kids' house and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't it be better if, like, you could see if a neighbor... They say it takes a village. And I think there is something to the... to the idea that the police, their job is, like, to arrest people. I'm not saying they'll definitely arrest somebody, but I don't know.
Their job is to protect and serve.
Well, yeah, true, but people get arrested, and maybe, I don't know. I just think it would be better to have a neighbor do it. I think we should have more of a community, shouldn't we? And we should at least strive to and hope to have that.
Ideally, I think you're absolutely right. But I think it's one of those things that works in theory, but not in fact.
Well, not to the extent that you could talk to a neighbor and see what went on while they were gone. I mean, something like that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And for some reason, George Washington comes into my mind. And I say that because he was the first military leader of the country. And it was he who wanted to ensure that the military, I believe, I'm not the historical expert on this, but I give him the credit from what I read for separating civilian control of our country from military force.
Mm-hmm.
And we all, when you talk about I know a lot of people like to use the police state and all of this pejorative language. We need law enforcement. There's no question about it. We all also fear a police state. We know too much about what can happen in countries where there is a police state. And I think the civilian control of the community, the state, and the country is something highly, highly valued by our citizenry.
Mm. Yeah. The only thing that would trouble me with it is sometimes if the police are involved, I don't know, sometimes things get escalated a little bit higher than they would, because it was when the police are trying to keep something in order, sometimes... I don't know.
Well, don't you think that that's because the people that they... I mean, I have found from the, I mean, I haven't been in this sort of a situation, but when the Keene police stop you, whether it's for, you know, I was stopped for an unregistered car once not too long ago, they're very polite, and I respond in kind, but I'm sure there are people who don't, and I think that when the police react or react badly, it's because the people that they're dealing with are being abusive.
Well, and not only that, but if you have a bad experience, there are ways to register complaints,
right.
and they do get heard.
They do.
And I speak from personal experience, and I won't go into detail, but basically, these are public servants.
Yeah.
Our law enforcement officers are public servants,
right.
and they are... They are open to criticism, and legitimate criticism is heard when necessary.
Well, one thing on that particular is that sometimes somebody might be hesitant to go to our I mean, if they did have a bad
bad experience,
a critical wanted to be critical, and somehow it's like. I have to go to the same people I had a bad experience with, and you know, do you understand what I'm saying?
I
in
do
that
understand,
regard?
But
so
yes.
That kind of.
But at the same time, it's that kind of respect that you hold that enables us to, enables stronger enforcement of a civilized world. In other words, we all share the fear that you just expressed, and to some degree, that holds us within the bounds of civilized behavior.
Mm. Got to take a break.
Thanks.
Thank you for calling. And you're listening to Talk Back on the news station, WKBK 1290 AM and 104.1 FM. Nat Stout and I will be back. Good morning. You're on Talk Back.
Good morning. It's Ian with FreeKeene.com. Cynthia, you said something last week, and it was at the very end of my call, and I didn't have enough time to respond to it. I considered it kind of a frightening thing to say, and I really wanted to dig into...
Boo.
What's that?
I said boo.
Oh. Well, frightening in a different way.
Oh.
That I really wanted to dig into and kind of look a little deeper at here. And what you said was, if there's a law, it should be enforced. And I wanted to find out, did you really mean that when you said that?
I guess it depends on the law, but for the most part, I think it should be followed, and if it's a law, it should be followed, and if it's not, then I think the police have the right to enforce it.
Okay, so now it sounds like your position is changing. I think that's a good thing. The statement that it depends on the law is definitely more along the line of somebody who's thinking about things, because it sounds to me like that's a statement that would acknowledge that the law could be wrong, or the law could be bad, or the law could be harmful, and that in those cases, wouldn't you say that it's a bad idea to enforce that law?
No.
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 So, okay. Let's
I think that if there's if a law is bad... And I can't think of any that are bad. I mean, in and of themselves.
Well,
I think
fundamentally, there may be a bad law that needs to be changed.
And it needs to be, then they need to be changed.
You work through to make the change.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, because sometimes the law takes a long time to change, in the meantime, you would advocate full enforcement of whatever the bad law is?
Well, I certainly wouldn't advocate you being the arbiter of whether it's right or wrong.
Right.
But you think that the police should just go ahead and enforce any law, regardless of how bad it is, so long as...
Oh, this simplistic argument is so
simplistic. Is that what you said?
I think if you're breaking a law, if the police come up and they say, okay, do you know it's not legal to do this, then the person should say, oops, sorry about that. They're not enforcing it. They're just reminding you that what you're doing is illegal, and the person should stop doing it.
To advocate breaking of the law is wrong.
Right.
It's uncivilized. It's not the way that a civilized community runs.
Well, actually, Martin Luther King would say that bad laws deserve...
I'm sorry, but you, sir, are no Martin Luther King.
I'm paraphrasing, and I didn't say I was Martin Luther King. I'm just using what he said to counter what you say there. And just to point something out here, back when Martin Luther King was around, they had laws that were called the Jim Crow laws.
I really, really resent that you bring up Martin Luther King, because the context that you use his arguments in are totally fallacious.
Fallacious? Do you think that it was fallacious what he did back then?
No, I'm not. I would defend Martin Luther King to my grave, and I certainly will.
For Rosa Parks to go to go to the front of the bus.
Oh, and you suddenly. I'm sorry, Ian. I'd much rather talk about the community than to get into a philosophical argument. And you know you can get my ire up.
It's easy to dodge these questions because
I'm not dodging anything, Ian.
Well, yes, you are. Why don't you answer the question? I mean, it's pretty simple. Was it wrong for Rosa Parks to go to the front of the bus?
No, it was not. And yes, the law was wrong that she had to sit in the back of the bus, and it was changed. It took a lot of hard work by a lot of people, a lot of brave people, but it was changed.
Should it have been enforced, that law? How about the fugitive slave laws? Should those have been enforced?
I don't know. I mean, you know, in retrospect, no. But at the time, it was the law. And therefore, until someone had the guts to stand up and oppose that law, I think...
You know, Cynthia, I really wish we could talk about this community
right.
and not get into these esoteric arguments that really have no bearing on our day-to-day. Really, I think it detracts from your program, and I don't think people want to hear Ian's philosophy about what's right and what's wrong. I think people want to know what's going on in Keene.
Right. And we haven't broken any laws in Keene lately. So, good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Yes, hello. I just tuned in before the break. Was I correct in hearing that you stated that all laws should be enforced no matter how wrong and bad they are?
Now, here we are again with Keene developments. We're talking about the Keene community.
Right.
And people are so interested to know.
There's lots of bad laws that are being enforced in Keene. And I just want to make sure I'm hearing you right. I heard that you said that it would be wrong not to enforce the law.
We were actually trying to talk about community developments, what's going on in our community, sir.
Community, and right. I live in the community. I've lived here for 26 and a half years. And I think that this is kind of important to me because if my elected city councilors believe that it is wrong to enforce not wrong to enforce an immoral law, there's something seriously wrong here.
Tell me which law you're talking about. Tell me.
It doesn't. How about arresting people for small possession of marijuana?
That is against the law, and it should, until the law is changed, it should be enforced. Do I agree with it? No. But it should be enforced
you do
because
agree
it's the law.
That the law should be enforced, as do I.
Yes.
Even if the laws are wrong, even if they hurt innocent people, you believe that we should enforce
them?
No, we should work to change the laws.
No, but in the meantime, while
work to change it.
But it takes years. You're telling me for years we should still be imprisoning innocent people and harming people, costing taxpayers money, imprisoning people, putting them in deep
until
cages,
the law is changed, we should, and
years.
We're going to move on. So, 357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, guys, it's Sam Dotson. I'm glad y'all want to talk about the local community, because I'd like to share my experiences with the Keene Police Department with you and the people listening to this radio station. So let's start back. I think most people know that I was jailed and held indefinitely without trial at the Keene.
Frankly, I don't think most people really want to hear this, Sam.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine, but this is a show called Talk Back, so I'm calling in to talk back, and you guys get to listen. So,
for a while.
What people don't know...
You don't need to take too much time with this.
What people don't know is that Eli Rivera secreted documents from an official subpoena, which is a felony... And
Until I know that for a fact.
Okay.
I think that's...
We would not slander you.
That's inappropriate.
Let's tell you what. Let's skip that, and let's talk about the two police officers who showed up at my house when they knew I was in jail at 3 a.m. in the morning to either set me up or rob me.
Are they like the people who happened to know
that Meg was here upstairs sleeping? They terrorized this poor woman, and let's not pretend that this is an isolated incident.
Are they like the people in masks with guns who... demonstrated in front of Eli's house.
This conversation petrifies me.
Those people came with candles and with songs. These people came with my money and guns with intent to harm me and my family. And this is not the first time that they did it, because, Cynthia, when we were at Keene State doing a Know Your Rights session, there was a college girl there, a young, pretty college girl who lived
alone.
This is
just not right.
No, this is the end of that. I just, you know.
false accusations.
This is not Free Talk Live. That's tonight. Or is it tonight because of the Red Sox playing? No, this is a baseball game. But anyway, this is not Free Talk Live. This is not the Free Stater show. This is a show about local events, and we want to talk about what's going on locally. 357, be warned. 357-1290, good morning. You're on Talkback.
Yeah, how about them Red Sox?
How about those Red Sox?
Hey, it's about time you said something. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Keep on keeping on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, that's the kind of call we like.
Yeah.
All right, so the budget is coming. Well, that's 357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Yes, I have a question here, or a comment, actually. I've lived in Keene for 20 years. I look forward to this program every Saturday to find out about the local views and to listen to people like you had on before, to find out what's going on in the community and to better the community.
Yes.
I don't want to be upset and aggravated by you guys bickering back and forth. You're going to lose a lot of listeners. So either you're going to have to get a screener or something, because I've had enough and I don't want to start my day upset.
I don't blame you. Thanks. And I've tried to tell the Free Staters that they're not getting any friends here because the people that listen do not want to hear what they have to say. 357-1290, good morning, you're on Talkback.
Yeah, it's amazing that you guys want to just stick your head back in the sand and pretend that Keene is this wonderful little community where the police do everything right, and when it comes to cases of abuse, you guys just plug your ear. And
you came here, didn't you?
We don't need to hear that.
I see this as a form of abuse.
357-1290, good morning, you're on Talkback.
Good morning, how is everybody?
Good morning.
Well, we were fine until a few minutes ago.
Good. I just wanted to say I've lived here all my life, and I don't want you to hang up on these people who call about local issues. The Red Sox, they're from Massachusetts. This is Keene. Let these people talk. We got an awful problem with this jail, this ridiculous jail. I'm not paying my taxes about that, too. I'm joining in with these guys. I'll tell you, you guys got to listen. Listen to these people, because I'm welcoming the Free Staters. I've lived here all my life. This is a great place to be. Please, let these people talk. They are more New Hampshire than the government here. And that guy, that cop, Eli Rivera, he's got a reputation, you know, and there are lots of them that do.
This is not productive. Why do we have to single someone out? It's totally pointless. It's also unethical.
Look what they did to that guy, Sam. Look what they did. You guys know
I've got some land in Florida, too.
Sam broke the law.
No, he didn't. Jeez, who did he hurt? That's the law.
Just because he didn't hurt anyone.
You got incandescent light bulbs in your house?
No, I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah, it's not something that really concerns the larger community.
Right. Good morning, you're on Talkback.
Hi, Cynthia. I actually had a solution for you for this little argument problem and complaint problem that you have. And
quit the show?
But, a lot of people, I've noticed, the biggest issue that they have is they can't really figure out how to file their complaint with the city or with the police or, whoever it is they're going after. So this Monday from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m., I will be at City Hall in the lower lobby, basically at like a customer service camera where people can come in and any complaints that they have, they can, talk about it on camera. And then I will see to it that, those get on Cheshire TV and get in front of people that maybe can solve the issue.
How do you know that the people who come in and complain have legitimate complaints? How do you know they're not just coming in and making something up?
Well, I think every complaint is a legitimate complaint, and if you're making it up, that will come out in the investigation of that complaint.
But it's like a erroneous story that runs on the front page of the newspaper and then is corrected in a little box on the third page. 90% of the people don't see the second thing. They think that, something bad happened.
I definitely know how that goes, because I know many stories have been run about people around here that were not correct and were corrected later in tiny little blurbs, and I just felt it needed more. So I do have very high journalistic integrity, and I would see to it that all things were
factual. You're going to have a camera, and people can come and complain.
Are
you going to take the complaints to the city, or are you simply going to put them on television?
Well, I'm a problem solver, and the first step is to know the problems. And so this is more of a figuring out what these citizens of Kane
Where
really.
Did you say you're filming this?
I will be in the lower lobby at City Hall.
Do you have permission on that score, or are you just planning to be there?
Cameras are open and available. We go there constantly.
What time is this?
It'll be from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. on Monday.
Do you think it might be a courtesy to at least express an interest in doing so with the people who work at City Hall?
Do they know you're going to be there?
Or are you just going to be there?
It's a public building.
Well, it may be, but there is a public protocol that could be used that would ease the whole issue with everyone concerned. You realize that maybe by following the letter of the law, you're also increasing stress levels to inappropriate places by just proceeding along the lines without cooperating, and I do mean cooperating with other folks who work there.
Yeah, I mean, did you have the courtesy, since it's right near the city clerk's office, to tell the city clerk that you would be there, or to tell the city manager or the mayor?
I won't be in the clerk's office.
No, I know, but you'd be outside the clerk's office.
The manager, but he's just never available.
Well, you know, you just made a public announcement, and it's not, in my view, a public occasion that you're announcing. So you're going, and I agree with you completely. And I believe you have high journalistic standards. I have a journalism degree, and I'm appalled to hear the use of libel, people being libeled and slandered constantly. And I honestly believe that you probably would be very aware of that. But at the same time, please let me finish. This has been the most frustrating morning I've had in a very long time. Don't think it's appropriate for you to declare that you're going to go in and use a portion of City Hall without trying to find a way to work with the people, and I do mean the citizenry of Keene, because you are effectively using my property. I'm a citizen of Keene. I pay for that. And for you to just presume that you can make a public announcement that you're going to do a quasi-public service, which this is not, is not only discourteous, but it's an abuse of my tax dollar.
Well, don't you think my tax dollars are there, too?
Certainly.
And all the other people
absolutely.
Who want to come in?
And that's why I would suggest a modicum of courtesy.
Okay. Well, I will be there. If that's your complaint, you can come speak with me about it.
Well, I don't think this should be a public announcement.
Right. Well, people can come and complain and do what they want. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye now. And you're listening to Talkback on the news station, WKBK 1290 AM and 104.1 FM. Nat Stout and I will be back after these messages.
This is WKBK's staff meteorologist John Apostolakis with the Monadnock region forecast. We'll start with clouds today, then skies turn mostly sunny by this afternoon. It'll be breezy and cool, highs in the low and mid-50s. For tonight, clouds on the increase, lows in the lower 30s. Tomorrow, Sunday clouds and sunshine mixing, a risk of a shower, but it will be mild, highs near 60. Some sunshine Monday, otherwise clouds, a few sprinkles, or even a brief shower, highs of 50 to 55. Mostly sunny skies Tuesday.
Cheshire Tire Center announces great savings on Goodyear Integrity tires. Right now at Cheshire Tire Center, buy three Goodyear Integrity tires starting at just $89 each and get the fourth free. And Cheshire Tire always includes mounting, balancing, valve stems, and lifetime rotation for free. They'll even transfer your tire pressure monitoring system for free. And if you find a lower price on tires within 30 days, Cheshire Tire will refund you twice the difference. And with their 30-day test drive, you can drive on your new tires for 30 days, and if you don't like them, bring them back for a full, no-questions-asked refund. See store for details. But Cheshire Tire isn't just about tires. Bring your car to them for complete auto service and save 10% on your service bill. And try their Oil Change Plus, a complete oil change for your vehicle, plus a filter, plus brake inspection and tire pressure check, all for just $19.99. Cheshire Tire Center, your first choice for tires and auto service. Lower Main Street in Keene, across from Rhymes Oil.
This is Dean at Your Kitchen Store in Keene's Colony Mill Marketplace. April marks National Organ Donor Awareness Week. Also, Carol and I celebrate our 24th wedding anniversary this month, a milestone we would not have achieved without the miracle of organ donation and transplant. Currently, more than 100,000 in the U.S. are waiting for donors. Unfortunately, only 20,000 will get transplants this year, and many will die waiting. By donating all possible organs, bones, and tissues, you can save or vastly improve the quality of life for almost 100 people. You can still have an open casket funeral. All major religions approve of organ donation. There is absolutely no cost to the donor's family or estate. You can help a mother to see her child for the first time, or a child hooked to a dialysis machine to hit a baseball and run bases, or someone like me to have 24 years with his beautiful bride. To be a donor, the three most important things are: tell your family, tell your family, tell your family. They decide after you die. For more information, go to livingbank.org or call me. This is Dean at Your Kitchen Store saying thanks for being an organ donor.
Hey, honey, what are these?
Just a couple of Red Sox tickets I picked up.
Red Sox tickets? You know I'm a Yankees fan, right? You know, the Bronx Bombers, the house that Ruth built, all those great players.
You could win $50,000.
Did you say 50 grand?
Play the New Hampshire Lottery's new $5 Boston Red Sox second edition instant game, and you could win up to $50,000 instantly, with 10 chances to win on every ticket. That's not all. Any non-winning Boston Red Sox second edition instant tickets can be entered at nhlotteryreplay.com for the chance to win game tickets to a 2010 or 2011 regular season home game, or officially licensed MLB Boston Red Sox prize packs. Pick up your Boston Red Sox instant scratch tickets today. For second chance drawings, visit nhlotteryreplay.com.
Sweet Caroline, bum, 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 good times never seem so good, so good, so good.
The New Hampshire Lottery, get in the game. Please play responsibly. Major League Baseball trademarks are used with permission.
Comedian Bob Marley will have you laughing your backside off when he returns to the Colonial Theater for one show only, Friday, April 23rd at 8 p.m.
You hear about this? L.L. Beans is supposed to put in a theme park, and you can go fly fishing and canoe riding and target shooting. I don't have the heart to tell him we already got that in Maine. It's called the Woods.
Tickets for Bob Marley are on sale now at the Colonial Box Office, thecolonial.org, or charge by phone at 352-2033. When it comes to heating your home, Jackson Energy has all the options you need. Whether it's affordable pre-buying or automatic delivery service, Jackson Energy makes it their business to keep you warm this winter. After all, you've got better things to worry about. Let Jackson Energy handle all your heating fuel needs. Call today and make sure your home stays warm this season. Jackson Energy, fuels for comfortable living. 36 Central Square in downtown Keene. 358-5555 and online at jacksonenergykeene.com.
Your home, it's your dream. Radon testing, keep it healthy and clean. Make it green, green, green.
Making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for the presence of radon. It's easy. To learn more, call 866-730-GREEN. Preserve your family's health and well-being. Get your home tested. Now that's living healthy and green.
Green. It's your home, it's your dream. Radon testing, keep it healthy and clean. Make it green, green, green.
To learn more, call 866-730-GREEN.
A message from the US EPA.
And we are back on Talk Back. I'm Cynthia Georgina.
I'm Nat Stout.
And guess who we have with us?
John McClain.
Yeah, John McClain dropped in because he heard all the phone calls about the city that some of them we can't answer or don't know if we should be answering. So,
well, I only heard the one, which was about the fire station. So I thought, why not try to call
okay.
in?
Okay.
Which I never do. And I couldn't get through.
Okay.
So obviously you're very popular this morning. But I thought I'd stop by, and so I'm glad to be here.
I feel like, what was the name, Phoebe Price from... down in Massachusetts.
Ooh,
who was bullied.
Oh, my goodness, that's awful. Yeah, that's awful. Well, you know, Cynthia, I think that the fire station issue is a very interesting one and obviously begs some explanation. Clearly, the city initially thought that the the folks that were doing the dispatching would be moving across the street. It wasn't ideal, but we did have space in the new station for them. And, of course, we would have to work out an arrangement if they were going to be there relative to how that space would actually be paid for. I don't know that I would characterize it as free space. In the past, I think over the years, the space that was available in the existing fire station, there was some quid pro quo relative to answering phone calls and also monitoring alarms for the city. But over time, of course, and when you start talking about replacing a station with a new station, how you would work out the new arrangement in relative to a business value, I guess, needed to be discussed. But it was a small amount of space and certainly not ideal from the standpoint of all that the dispatch folks do. They also have a radio repair shop, which is down at 350 Marlboro Street, where they lease space from us, et cetera. Actually, I'm not sure that they actually leased that space, but they are using a portion of it. And so at this point, we realized that when they came to us and said, we'd like to think about the possibility of staying in the building that we're in, it'd be a lot less expensive for us not to have to transfer everything across the street, set up, do a whole complete new setup. We can continue to monitor your phones. We can continue to monitor your alarms from this location just across the street. It did make a lot of sense. And, of course, they're interested in getting the best deal they can. To characterize it as a back room deal, I think, is inappropriate. Obviously, anytime we sell property, you can't do it, from the standpoint of being in a room with the whole world watching. I think you have to have the opportunity to talk about it and determine what the deal is. But, of course, any kind of sale, purchase or sale that the city does, whether it's in this fashion where it's sole sourcing or whether it's competitive bid, eventually must come to the city council and must be transparent. It must answer all the questions. And people have every right to expect that it makes sense, that it be in their best interest. And so, of course, that will be done before anything is approved. And the fact that we're dealing with this organization in a very cooperative manner does not mean that we're not looking out for the city's best interests. So I think that we'll have a good story to tell. It will make its own case. And if it makes a good case, the city council will approve it. If it doesn't, then we have other options.
And also, Cynthia, if I may, we're one of the 78 communities. We share these expenses that the mutual aid people will have when the transaction occurs, whatever that may be.
Well, right now we pay about $160,000 for dispatching service annually. So we're paying money for this service anyway. We're paying our fair share of that service. But we do get some quid pro quo relative to those alarms and those answering of calls for us.
John, what would it cost if we were hosting this service only for the city of Keene for ourselves?
Oh, much more than that, obviously, many times much more money than that because of the 24/7 nature of having personnel and equipment. It's a really good deal for the city of Keene. I don't think anybody would say that's not the case. But so all of this needs to be looked at. Again, I think for the general public, for people out there who are concerned about anything that government does, we understand that. And ultimately, they're going to want an accounting for whatever we think is in their best interest so that they can see it and make their own decisions.
Okay, 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling to congratulate you guys for the very favorable press coverage for your 420 celebrations that y'all hold there in Keene. Just read a very positive article in Cannabis Culture magazine. And I wanted to say I think y'all are doing a great job of moving the ball of liberty down the field.
Well, that's one opinion. Thank you very much.
Don't you guys agree that, didn't I hear you say, Cynthia, that you think bad laws should be changed?
Here we are again.
Okay. Thank you very much.
In the queue.
357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hi. Good morning. Forgive me. I'm getting over a cold, so my voice is a little raw this morning.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for taking my call this morning. It seemed like a hot day today. On the air. Thanks for joining, John, as well. It's always good to hear you. One thing, I do see, I got to ask about, is the city of Keene. Are they low on revenue right now?
Well, the city of Keene has, like all municipalities across New Hampshire, has certainly felt the effect of the state's revenue crunch. And we lost last year, for example, $1 million in state-shared revenues. The city also took a hit relative to some other funding sources. The number of new cars, obviously, and registrations has gone down dramatically. Interest has fallen off to the point where there's hardly any earnings from interest. So by the time the city looked at all of its revenue base, it had lost approximately $1.75 million last year. Now, I saw the governor's budget proposal came out where he's calling for an additional decrease to municipalities for rooms and meals tax. So that's another hit that, if the legislature agrees, will have to be considered in our budget.
Yeah, I don't think that raising any taxes is a good idea. But I do see that the police are pulling people over a lot more now. I'm thinking that's probably one of the reasons why, it's like an indicator to me that everybody's low on revenue. So,
yeah, that's not really true, though. I think if you were to look, and you would notice that, that activity doesn't really fluctuate that much. And unless it's a city ordinance, typically the revenue doesn't stay here. So I wouldn't say that there's been any correlation to that. It's just something you think about, when you see it and you think, oh, my gosh, they must be doing that. But it's not really true.
Well, I see a lot more people getting pulled over. There's a lot of police activity.
I have to say that these false accusations are what they're trying to do.
I'm just trying to ask the question.
Yeah, I don't see it.
It's not true. It's just simply not true.
Well, I just see it as, I think a lot of perception by people, though, Nat, is that they see these things and they wonder if there's a correlation. But we're here to tell them that there isn't.
Right.
There really isn't a correlation. So, although I can understand why people think it, if they see any kind of police activity, they wonder, particularly in a time like this, if there's a correlation to, well, they need more revenue, so they're stepping up their activities.
Well, there is that.
Believe me, we don't have to step up our activities. There's so many calls from neighborhoods and people around the community for that type of policing action. And, of course, we only have the same number of officers really to deal with it. So it's really not something that we can really spend an inordinate amount of increased time on.
Do we have quotas?
No, of course not.
No. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Good morning. I'm sorry. I'm double dipping.
That's okay.
I would like to know one thing. If, as a taxpayer in the City of Keene at 480 Marble Street, and have been not necessarily at this address over the last 45 years, I would like to know if something goes on in the city, in city buildings, and I don't what's going on, who do I complain to? Because I will complain.
Oh, good. Well, I think that you can complain to your city councilor from your ward, if you'd like. You can complain to the mayor. You can complain to the city manager.
Okay.
Any one of us, you can write a letter to the city.
Okay. I just, from what I heard this morning, they would like to, this person would like something done, and she's going to run a camera in City Hall.
Okay.
To get complaints. I do not want that. I think it will cause a great deal of problems. And if she wants to run a camera, go to her own kitchen and interview people.
I couldn't agree more.
I think that's a great idea.
And now I've spoke my piece for today.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Hi, yes. Am I on?
You are.
Yeah, okay, first off, I'd like to say, geez, I don't know where to start. So many points to address. I'm not a free stater, but I'm sympathetic to what they're trying to do here. And first of all, I'm also a taxpayer. And, from my standpoint, I'd like to give that young lady permission to do what she'd like to do. To, set up a camera and film what's, I don't have a problem with that.
Well, I think she's going to do it, so she doesn't need permission.
And, when she was talking, you guys were, somebody mentioned something about, raising the stress level. I'm one of the people that's affected by the dumpster, the city code or ordinance, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I had to get rid of my dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
I got two or three letters from you guys. Where were those letters when you guys were considering, passing that code? I didn't receive anything. What do you think my stress level is?
Actually, they did send out letters, and they did. I know that they did interview a number of different consumers who had those types of containers. They started out; they were going to pass an ordinance, and the department started looking at actually implementing it. But then when they realized that the compliance was going to be fairly significant and that a number of people were going to be caught off guard, they did actually slow down the process and try to involve more people in that process.
Well, I can say, you know, in good faith that I never received a letter saying,
oh, sure.
Hey,
I understand.
This is coming up. You might be interested in this.
Are you aware that if the city has to write every resident in the city a letter, what the cost might be?
Well, didn't you write everybody that was in violation of that? You guys went around, and obviously, I was targeted because I had a dumpster that wasn't, hidden away from view. My God, heaven forbid, somebody has, a trash receptacle in front of their house.
Hmm. I understand what you're saying, and I think there was an effort made to contact various property owners for that particular reason. I don't think that they've contacted everyone, of course, but your opinion is important, and we'd like to hear it.
I mean, you're telling me, obviously if I was in violation, I had to, jump through hoops to get, the dumpster removed, and I might even be facing an early termination fine for it.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that about your personal situation, but the situation across the community had become pretty significant.
Situation of what? Having a dumpster in front of
them? Well, there were a lot of dumpsters, and they were placed in a number of different locations. Oftentimes, they weren't being emptied properly. They weren't fenced. They didn't have the appropriate pad to place the dumpster on. There were a number of different issues.
Doesn't the owner own the property?
Yes, of course, the owner owns the property.
Well, you're telling them what they can do on their property, correct?
See, this is a personal situation. I don't think we're going to resolve that here.
Okay, fine. Let's move to another question I have. No, what are you guys doing to cut back costs?
I just want to make sure that you understand that this, John McClain, I'm signing off. I just wanted to come in and talk a little bit about the fire station, but I know that Nat wants to talk about these other
things. As far as cutting costs, I think what you need to do is you need to come to the budget hearings.
I have a full-time job. I have a wife and children.
We all have full-time.
That's funny. We do too.
We all have full-time jobs, and some of us have wives and children. And the budget hearings are at night for that reason.
I work with a number of people that live in Keene, and they're already worried that, if the taxes go any higher.
Do you not live in Keene?
I do live in Keene.
Oh.
A point about those taxes, when you're hearing about these revenues that we don't have coming in. We either cut services, and if we raise taxes, it's the property tax. What's happening is the state and the feds are mainly the state, is shifting the burden to the cities. And so you should know also that while, yes, we try to control those property taxes, the reason we can't as well as we would is because the state is not funding
what
anymore.
We have done, Nat, what we have done is... Yes, we have done some things, sir. Let me give you a few examples. We've frozen positions on city staff. So at this point in time,
doing more with less people.
We're doing more with less people, and that's been significant. We deferred a number of adjustments in salary. We took away a couple of additional benefits that we felt that we could not afford at this time. We also made some changes in the capital improvement plan, as well as in our fleet replacement programs. And wherever we could find places that we could economize or be more efficient, we did. We've looked at outsourcing. We've done some outsourcing.
Health insurance.
So health insurance, we're self-insured. We had a good year. We're probably the anomaly. We saved a lot of money in our health insurance products.
Workers' compensation.
We do have our employees that are paying a little bit more of the cost of that health insurance as well. There's been any number of things that we've done to try to squeeze down the cost of government so that we wouldn't have a big increase in property taxes, because we do understand that property taxes are about where I think any one of us would have to say is about as much as we can handle.
I don't see any big cuts. Get rid of the little guy. I snowblow the sidewalk in the wintertime in front of my house, and I still get a guy that comes along with his little snowplow.
Yeah, I appreciate that you're doing that.
Let the person, whoever is in front of a sidewalk, take care of it.
Yeah, well, you know,
cut costs that way.
Well, we do talk about that. That's come up many, many times.
Well, it comes up, but are you guys, just do it?
Well, I certainly wouldn't.
Well, I think that it has been debated, and for every constituent that says just do it, there's another constituent that says don't do it.
Right.
And then there's a whole liability issue for those people who can't do it.
There's a liability for those people that do it. If somebody slips and falls and breaks their leg, they're going to sue the homeowner.
Well, there's any number of issues, and that's the problem with any of these things. When you start talking about sidewalks, if they're not actually cleaned, uniformly down the particular street, particularly if it's a busy street, you're going to have particular issues. But, you're welcome to come to any of the public hearings and the budget debates and talk to us there about the things that you would like to see changed, and we'll certainly give every consideration to your thoughts.
In all honesty, I don't have the time. You know?
Okay, understood.
And you know what? You know, the thought's really going through my head. You know, a couple years down the road, I may have to move out of the town.
Well,
and who's going to move in? Who's going to be able to afford it? You going to have middle class families being able to afford living here?
You know what you need to do? Talk to the governor. Talk to anybody in the state legislature or the Senate. Tell them we need an income tax.
Income tax? Excuse me?
A broad-based tax.
No way. No way. You guys need to cut your spending.
I don't agree.
I don't agree with you.
Well, you know, and that's why, you know, you got free staters that, you know, are just going to keep coming in.
Well, we have been cutting spending, so I, you know, feel free to give me a call, you know, at City Hall, and I'd be more than happy to go over a number of the things that we've done, and that'll at least give you the base for any further, you know, discussion that you'd like to have or any recommendations that you might have. So feel free to give me a call at City Hall, and we'll be more than happy to get together with you.
And I don't understand the disconnect between revenues, expenditures, and city services. Services are also what we're talking about here.
Right. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
You've done a good job with services.
Yes, hey. That's true.
Last call.
How are you?
Hi, we're fine. How are you?
Good. It's your show. You can hang up on anybody you want.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody mentioned the cigar thing downtown at
yes.
all.
In passing.
I just wanted to say, you know, it kind of makes me frustrated because he's going about the proper way of doing this.
Yes.
And yet every day there's the people downtown doing the marijuana thing. And, you know, he could just go and do it. And I wonder if he would get, you know, fined for it or whatever. And at the same time, these people are getting away with this every day.
Well,
you know what I mean? And it's just frustrating that he's a small businessman. He's trying to do his thing.
I think it's the difference between he wants to use parking spaces and they're using what is considered the people's property, which is the common.
Would he be all right if he just used the sidewalk? I'm for him getting permission. I'm not against it. It just frustrates me that these people every day are going down there, you know, regardless if you're okay with
right.
Well, he's actually out there.
You're still breaking the law. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's actually out there every day smoking. He and others stand outside in the good weather and smoke
right.
cigars.
I didn't know if this was like because he was kind of conducting like a commerce thing more.
Well,
than
he is having a cigar tasting, but that's
right.
different
more
from
just the leisure
the fact that he regularly smokes cigars
thing.
Outside.
And also he's a for-profit organization.
Right, right.
You have to remember that.
And we're out of time, but thanks for calling. Anyway, thank you very much for being here, Nat. And
thank
John,
you.
Thanks for stopping in.